Hello, everybody. Great welcome to all of you to Amazing You. I am your host. My name is Dr. Rani Thanakudi. I am a clinical certified hypnotherapist, a Mars-Venus life and relationship coach, an international inspirational speaker, breathwork coach, astrologer, tarot reader, chakra practitioner, and compassion practitioner. And today, I have the immense pleasure to introduce you to a very special guest, Mr. Joel Jung. He is the creator and custodian of NPA, which stands for Non-Personal Awareness. And he is the host of the Be a Brilliant Human podcast. The NPA process has touched the lives of millions around the world, helping them to stop taking things personally and let go of blocks and start living their dreams. So with nearly 30 years of experience of healing and teaching internationally, Joel brings a depth of wisdom and a great deal of energy and humor to his podcasts, seminars, and one-to-one practice. He has a passion for helping coaches, healers, and change workers rise to mastery and do the magical work they were born to do. Very warm welcome to Amazing You, Joel.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm delighted to be here.
So really excited to have you. And thank you for taking the time to talk to the audience today.
Hey, audience.
So my very first question to you, Joel, tell us briefly about your story and how you got into the NPA process.
It's a long story. I'll keep it brief.
Yes, please.
So you can probably see from the guitars behind me that I started out as a musician.
Right.
And I was sort of medium successful in that industry, and then it all came crashing down, which got me looking at myself and into spirituality and personal development. I happened across a particular process or method that looks very much at inner trauma, healing through emotion and sort of work on history and childhood. And I worked for many years with that company.
Okay.
And I was teaching all over the world and, you know, running events for sort of hundreds and hundreds of people. And it was very fulfilling and did me a lot of good. But the NPA thing came along in 2007. Okay. And I literally, it was like a prayer happened through me. It was like I went, okay, God, you know, give us a job. If there's something specific that wants to come through me, I'm ready. And it felt really strange to have that. It wasn't like I thought about it. It just kind of happened. And about a week later, I was journaling on my laptop in Costa Coffee in Abingdon, of all places. And the six simple lines, which are now the core MPA process, literally popped out of me. And the way that I would journal would be like a bit like if you've heard of Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Yes. Which is a book from, like, I guess, end of the 80s, early 90s. And he was in a conversation saying, hey, God, life's a bit rubbish. And God would say, well, let me tell you. And that was kind of how I journaled. It was like that, the sort of the voice of God, if you like, said, try saying these six lines. And I did. And what the way I'd been working before was, again, quite a big in-depth, like it took you and a client 3 hours to go through this big emotional process.
Yes.
And these six simple lines in, like, I don't know, 30 seconds meant that what I was having an issue with at the time, which I knew would probably take a lot of delving into my deep core, just kind of slid off. And it was really, really strange. And it came with that sort of strange feeling of, like, this is the answer to your prayer.
Wow.
And from there, I kind of continued to work with the other company, but I took about 18 months to sort of figure out what is this little thing? It seems too simple or too good to be true. And what does it mean? And it began to sort of break down many of the ideas I had about what it was required in order to heal in many ways. And then in 2009, you know, it was about 18 months later, I first started teaching MPA, and I haven't looked back. And that's what many years ago now. And since then, of course, MPA has grown. I've discovered why it's so leveraged in such a little thing can do so much. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. Yes. And why at its core is it's not personal, is the idea that fundamentally is that nothing is personal. And these days, really, it's come to the point where it has spread, as you said in the bio, it's all over the world. Millions of people are using it. Yes. And my focus for the most part these days is on helping coaches, healers, facilitators, change workers become like unlock their absolute genius in service to their clients. Because baked into the MPA process and all the non-personal awareness philosophies is an approach which I would call the agendaless way, which is kind of one of the key factors in making the difference between a really good coach or a really good healer and someone who is able to absolutely exquisitely sort of follow and open with a client in a way that makes it effortless for both, which is really important because there's a lot of burnout in our industry. And really magical in the way they go forward.
Yes, thank you so much. And I was very lucky to have been on one of your introductory course that you delivered that, and that was really, really fast to experience healing, I must say. Yes, much quicker than any other method. I do agree, yes. And that was very profound as well. It was quick, but very deep, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And you were talking about not to take things personally, and today you want to share with us and tell us more about the topic that you've chosen to share with the audience, which is not to take things personally, because when we have trauma, we do take things personally. So tell us more about that, Joel.
Well, I think what I've discovered over the years is that one of the core pieces of the puzzle when it comes to suffering, and my definition of, I call it unnecessary suffering, I think there's a certain amount of suffering that's inherent within life itself. Yes. But I would say the overwhelming majority of the suffering that we experience in this life is unnecessary because it's based in internal stuff, dialogue, self-talk, that kind of thing. Yeah. And the mechanism that we do it with, for the most part, is literally taking things personally. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is that when you take something personally, you literally identify with it. Yes. So if someone says, Joel, you're an idiot, and I take it personally, I'm basically agreeing and saying, yes, I'm an idiot. Mm. Now, even if I'm defending and going, no, I'm not, but inside, somewhere deep inside, it's stuck in me, then I have literally taken it personally, and then it lives inside of me.
Yeah.
So the thing that I really wanted to share today is fundamental to non-personal awareness, to MPA, which is, you could say, don't take things personally. And, you know, you can Google that. And most of what you'll get is a lot of stuff like step by step. And you just change your mind about this, change your mind about that. Mm. And that's not easy. It's without help. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And the six lines, it's ridiculously simple. The six lines help you do that in short order. Yes. At its heart is an idea or a scientific fact, as much as science can be a fact, that fundamentally nothing is personal. And I'm going to talk about that because people can go, but it is personal. Yeah. And I'm not saying we don't take things personally and make it personally, but there's a mental shift that's available which says, fundamentally nothing is personal. So let me explain that, because I like to use a metaphor. So if we lean into the science, it's the quantum model, quantum physics, quantum mechanics. I say nothing's, it's non-personal. They would say everything exists non-locally. Why? Because in the quantum model, which by the way has been around for over 100 years now, is the basis of all the good computers and everything else that we use today. I know we're still basically, as far as I understand it, teaching Newtonian physics, which says we're mechanical and separate and solid. The quantum model says everything is fluid and connected.
Right.
Because the recognition was made that everything that we experience, everything that exists in the universe, is fundamentally energetic at its core.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps, listener, you've heard everything is energy, and it's kind of a buzzword.
Yeah.
But when you really, really think about that, it's amazing. Mm. And the other thing they discovered was that the nature of energy is kind of weird. Because if you try and measure it or look at it, depending on whether you're looking at it or not, it seems to have a different state. For the most part, energy is waves, waveforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you pay attention, it can apparently solidify and become more of a particle, or a particle apparates when you bring attention to it.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, everything is energy. Everything is waves.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we relate to that ourselves as humans and taking things personally? Well, this is where I like a metaphor, which is the metaphor of radio waves, because we can kind of all understand radio waves.
Yes.
So if you think about the BBC World Service, which broadcasts all over the world right now. So at this very moment, the waves, the radio waves, are all around us. In fact, they're going through our bodies. They're going through the ceiling. They're going through the floor. In you and me,
right.
They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not personal.
No.
They're just happening.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of a radio, like how do we get to experience the BBC World Service? Well, we need a radio or a wireless for those across the pond from us. And what is that? Well, it's a distinct thing, and it has a thing that pokes up out the top called an aerial, which is a receiving device,
yes,
which can hang out in the air and detect mm-hmm. waves of different frequencies.
Yes.
And it's got a dial on it, and you can tune it in to the right frequency for the BBC World Service. And then the aerial goes, oh, yeah, I'll start sending those signals down into the body of the wireless. And the wireless then does a bunch of cool electrical things, converts those waves in a way that it shakes a little piece of paper, a little cone of paper, that's called a speaker. And as that vibrates, it expresses it out. It expresses a translation of what it's receiving out into the world. So fundamentally, the BBC World Service is not personal. And yet if it's tuned into, then we can have an expression of it, but that radio has to take it personally. It has to tune into it in order to express it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we extrapolate on that metaphor and say, okay, so right now, Depression FM is a universal broadcast. Right now, Depression FM, the waves of that are coming through me. They're in the ceiling, they're in the floor, they're everywhere. Now, I'm not personally tuning into Depression FM, but there are many people in this world right now who are tuning into Depression FM.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But fundamentally, depression is not personal. The minute you take it personal, the minute you say, that's me, that is, I am depressed. So a feeling of depression could come and you go, oh, look, depression, how interesting. But not take it personally, it might just pass through.
Mm.
But if you take it personally, it's like you set your dial,
yes,
and make that in the sort of the bank of program things, that's me.
Yeah.
And so, of course, what happens then is you begin to express those depressed experiences. You're tuning into all the thoughts and all the frequencies that are related to, same as all the content.
Mm-hmm.
Of BBC World Service, the content of Depression FM, you're going to start hearing them,
yes,
feeling them, acting on them, expressing them out. Just to balance that, good news is Ecstasy FM is also everywhere.
Okay.
So we're in there. So that's that's the way I look at why fundamentally nothing is personal. And the mechanism of taking things personally is literally tuning into it and saying, that's me, that is.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's very interesting. And how can the audience, what techniques do you think they can use not to take things personally? What specific things, what specific practice would you encourage them, or what thoughts they can go into not to take things personally? Because it's so easy when people tell us things, we take it personally. What do we do in that case?
So I'll talk a bit in a moment about the MPA process, because it is magic for that.
Okay.
But just to sort of lean back into what I shared just then, if you can just contemplate that any, because mostly what we take personally is other people's opinions,
absolutely,
ideas, criticism is a big one, you know, that kind of thing. We can, if we think about taking something personal, let me talk about it in a slightly different way, because it helps with answering your question.
Yes.
Another way to talk about that is to identify with something, to take up residence in an identity. And a lot of that stuff, perhaps we pick up as kids, you know, we learn about who we are. But even as adults, you know, you go into a new job and then you begin to learn who you are in relation to it.
Yes.
So I'm a great believer in kind of, A, if you can just spend some time thinking about the things that you're perhaps taking on as these broadcasts, mm-hmm, and they're not fundamentally personal. Another way to say that is that's not me. That's not who I am. It's an experience that's passing through. Because what we do, the way we suffer is when that comes in, if it comes into us and we take it personally, it's like putting a Velcro suit on, right?
Mm, yes.
It sticks to us.
Absolutely.
And say an idea like you're an idiot, Joel, comes in and I take it personally. It's like it's like a something that's come for a visit, for a cup of tea and a slice of cake, and then it's going to leave.
Yeah.
It's like I lock it in my metaphorical self, my house, and then 35 years later, it's like it's taken up residence. It's, you know, it's pretty miffed with the fact that I was only in for like 10, 15 minutes with you, but you've clung on to me, mm-hmm, and now I'm a prisoner inside of you.
Yes.
So just thinking about, in a mindfulness way, thinking about the fact that, you know, by taking something personally, you are yourself the one who gets to experience that.
Right.
So let's say someone says you're an idiot. I could go, well, I could argue against them. No, I'm not.
Yes.
Even one of the ways that we take something personally is we give it meaning. We say, mm-hmm, it's not me. So even as I try and deny it, often I'm secretly taking it personally or believe that it's true.
Yeah.
So if you get in that kind of wrangle, just remember that, you know, is this who I am, really? Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, of course, is try the MPA process. You can get it for free. You can go to my website, which is www.thenpaacademy.com. If you go there, there's a quick start button at the top of the website. You can click that and you can get hold of that there's six simple lines.
Okay.
And the worksheet that you get will walk you through how to do it. But fundamentally, it's a way of identifying, first of all, how have you attached to something to take it personally? What is that thing that you've attached to it?
Mm.
And then once you identify that, and there's a couple of questions you get to ask on the sheet to help you identify it, and there's a way that we do it. Then you can literally take, it's normally like a word or a phrase that you find, which is the bit that it's where the Velcro and the external thing have met and the hooks are sort of locked together.
Right.
And then all you need to do is to take yourself through the process. And what I say, because I've got lots of trainings for MPA,
okay,
is most of the trainings are to help people let it be as simple as it is. It's so simple. So the more you can let it be simple, the easier it is. And what the process does is kind of untangle that sense of taking things personally, mm-hmm, and allow what I would call the cycle of experience to continue. So in a sense, with that metaphor of it comes into my house for a cup of tea and a slice of cake and I lock it in, the process helps you open the doors. So the things that are ready to leave will just go, oh, thank goodness, I'm out of here.
Right. Oh. Yes.
And, you know, it's one of the ways that makes it really easy to do that. Because the other thing I'd say is like, yeah, don't take things personally, but fundamentally nothing is personal. But also it's not that it's always intrinsically bad. I'm interested in when you take something personally, is it causing you suffering? If it is, then download that MPA sheet, the mpaacademy.com, quick start, boom, get your hands on it and start playing with it. It's the quickest way I've come across to help you stop taking things personally. And the thing about using it over time is the more you do it, each time you do it, you're basically embedding into your mind, not personal, not personal, not personal, which means you become more fluid in how you begin to live your life. It's like you become less sticky, yes, therefore less exhausted and less weighed down by a bunch of ideas that were never really you.
Absolutely. Yes. That's so true, Joel, because I remember I have done that for my whole life. I used to take things personally. And until I started working on that journey of healing, then I realized, why am I giving people the power over me? When I take things personally, it's I allow them to control me. So I have the power when I understood how powerful is my subconscious mind and my conscious mind, that my conscious mind is so powerful, I can reject what they say. I don't need to take it. It's not mine anyway. And then I started to think that it comes somewhere from their own belief that they are projecting on me. And it's so powerful when I understood that yes, it doesn't, what they are saying, it's not about me. It is who they are, where they got it somewhere, and they are just projecting it on me. And if I let it go, then it doesn't have the power to affect me.
So yeah, because
yes.
I was going to say, one of the things where we get caught up in it and we tend to really hold on to stuff is we get into these fights with people about things.
Yes.
And if you go back to that metaphor, which is very powerful if you really think about it, it's like we're all just wirelesses broadcasting a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
And what we're broadcasting is stuff that we've habitually tuned into.
Yeah.
And I think the possibility is here in the world, if we really embrace the non-personal perspective, that when you start to sift through the things you've taken personally that are causing you suffering, they're fundamentally not aligned with you in the moment.
No.
And the things that you take personally, because in order to have any expression, you've got to take something personally, is the stuff that actually is true and resonant for you in the moment. And then we can drop a lot of the conflict that happens in the world. We can drop a lot of the fights about I'm right, you're wrong, this is the way it should be, this is the way it should be, and go, oh, what a fascinating broadcast this is, you know, and I don't have to tune into it. I can hear it, but I don't need to choose it for my life. And I think it's a really, you know, of all the work that I've done over the many, many years I've been doing this, it is to this day one of the quickest, most direct ways to just drop stuff that's causing you pain.
Yes. Wow, yes, it is really powerful, very powerful indeed. Yes, thank you, Joel, for sharing that to us. And I've got a few things I want to ask you today.
Sure.
So that the audience can understand and get to know you more. I mentioned earlier that you've got a podcast, which is called the Be a Brilliant Human Podcast. So can you tell us a bit more about your podcast?
Sure. So on my podcast, which I've not been doing the output for so much in the last 12 months, but there's 150 plus episodes there, and they are filled with me. Some of them are interviews with other people like we're doing here, but most of it I'm talking about different topics. Okay. The idea behind Be a Brilliant Human is really, when we stop taking things personally, when we drop the false stuff, then our brilliance naturally shines. Very much like in our, you know, MPA practitioner training program. That's why I say to become Unleash Your Coaching Genius. Right. Is because when you drop all of the artifacts, yes, that are just there as part of having taken so much personally, then your genius in that sphere can come out. But it's true of life. So There's a whole ton of stuff in the podcast. And that podcast is really focused on, you know, people's own personal growth more than the coaching. And part of the reason I've sort of stopped it for now is because I've been focusing much more in the last year on our MPA Mastery program, which is the practitioner's training program. But
right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Would you tell us where we can find your podcast, Joel, if the audience want to listen to it?
Sure. If they want to go to www.beabrilliant.com, they'll find all the episodes there. And there's links to my YouTube channel and the various podcast platforms that it's on. And there's usually show notes and all sorts of lovely stuff that go with the podcast there as well. So they can find all the links there at beabrilliant.com. We'll find it there.
Thank you. That is amazing. Thank you so much. And can you tell us briefly about what is it that you do more specifically, and how can people reach out to you, Joel?
Sure. So again, if you go to that website, www.thenpa, it's November Papa Alpha, mpaacademy.com, you can get access to resources. Like, you can download the MPA process for free. Okay. There are trainings that you can get as well. And, you know, there's different tracks. You can go there and find out how you can work for your own self with MPA, but also anyone, if any of your listeners work with other people facilitating any way, then there's great resources and tools and opportunities to learn tools, because it's a tool that you can use within your practice.
Yes.
That can make things easier for you and easier for your client. And so check out MPA Mastery in particular, which is our practitioner training course. But it's the mpaacademy.com is the place to go.
Okay. And tell us about the courses that you are delivering. Is there a practitioner, and are there different levels of the course?
Yeah, there are. For the most part, you'll start with what we call MPA basic training, which gives you once you download the sheet, you can then get, there's a really good offer on for a short period of time for you to just get into basic training. And that will go through some of the fundamentals that we've talked about today and how to use the process in different scenarios. Then we have an advanced training, which is a self-paced program, which is more specifically for, you know, how to work with other people in different scenarios. And then also you can come on to Mastery, which is like a full 7-month container where we really dive into the magic of MPA in the hands of a practitioner. And that's really about it. It's got all the tools. We have like 40 plus what we call MPA frames, which are different ways to use MPA. But really it's about dropping the agenda, getting out of your own way, making your experience of working with people frictionless, agendaless, dogma-free, which is where most of the magic comes. And then what you came to was the harmony equation, which we've just done again, which is, and I'll be doing more events similar to that, where we're going to look at a specific technique, and you can come along and learn that with me live. So really, the harmony equation and mastery are the only ones I do live for now, but watch this space, because next year we've got a couple more fantastic events coming up where we're going to use two of the other frames and teach it to anybody who wants to come along and learn those tools.
Wow, that is great. That is great that you've got things in the pipeline, and that is wonderful. Thank you so much, Joel, for sharing your precious time to the audience. It's been really a great opportunity for the audience to get to know you and know what you do, because I am not sure many people know about the NPA process, and it is such a great process, such a quick process. And please go to Joel's website and have a look for yourself and put it into practice, and you will see. And you will
Thanks
see
the so difference much.
You can make in your own life.
Yes. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
So great. Thank you, Joel. And I wish you the very best in your future endeavors. And I wish you a lot of success.
Thank you. Oh, the microphone.
And thank you to the audience for watching, listening, and subscribing. And we'll see you for another podcast and YouTube video very soon. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.